All right, everybody, welcome to the Rewire podcast. I hope everyone's having a beautiful day. Thanks for listening. I have a very special guest with me today, Sydney McNairy III. Sydney is an international best-selling author and speaker, the architect of peaceful living, which we're going to dig into for sure. Sydney has worked with the NBA, the NFL, Fortune 500 companies, leadership everywhere. And I just learned earlier, as I said, I was feeling some nerves as he is running for U.S. president in 2028. This is certainly not a political show, but we're definitely going to touch on that a little bit as well. And Sydney's superpower is to help people find greatness, which is absolutely beautiful. So thank you so much. I'm honored that you're here.
Hey, I really appreciate being here with you, Brian. So thank you for having me.
So I'm really curious, Sydney, as I mentioned just before we started here, a little bit about your story. One thing I picked up, and you know, I'm a father of a 9-year-old boy and 11-year-old girl, and meditation is a big part of their daily routine. Certainly not something I grew up with, awesome. But for you, it looks like you got into meditation around that age as well. So it makes a lot of sense that you're focusing on bringing peace to the world with that sort of beginning, but maybe you could share a little bit about that and how you grew up and got into this path.
Well, you know, I'm very fortunate that when we moved from Baton Rouge, Louisiana over to Washington, D.C., my parents wanted to put this high energy kid in sports. And instantly I was going to play for my dad, soccer, football, overseas, and they realized what I was like. And so instantly at 7 years old, I was taken to play for the state and prepare to go and play in England when I got older. And so in that moment, I had a coach that when I turned 8, he started teaching us to meditate. And that was that. You know, looking back, I think in one way it was, all right, sit, be still so I can get these little people to do what I want them to do. But yet from that point on, I always had people as coaches. You know, my high school football coach taught us to meditate. My college soccer coach and taught us to meditate. And so I always had coaches that leaned into that and knew that having a steady mind could create a different athlete. And so I was blessed that I was guided in that space with people.
Yeah, I think that's somewhat rare to be so fortunate to have a series of coaches all helping you along that path. Yeah. Now, I guess fast forwarding from there for a few years, I mean, once you begin the meditation path, I mean, I know yoga is a big part of your practice as well. Did you continue to do it from that point forward into adulthood, or is this something that you've stopped and started? Or,
I mean, meditation, yeah. I mean, even as when I went from playing college sports to coaching college football, and I was working on my master's degree, and when I got in, I can't remember his name, but the teacher was like, Sid, he was assigning all these different things for people to be prepared to teach other people. And he said, Sid, you're going to teach everybody how to meditate. And he didn't have a clue. At least I didn't think he had a clue that I was someone that meditated. So meditation stayed with me the whole time. When it came to yoga really came into my life in 1995 because I had ankle surgery, fused my ankle, and someone saw me limping. And she said, if you do yoga, you can shift your body. And I was like, who's this lady? Like, I'm working out. I'm good. I'm a football coach. Let me do what I do. And she said, no. And so I started listening. And then she said, if you go to Target and buy Rodney Yee's video, you know, it was back when it was video, VHSs. If you buy his video, you then can begin to work on your body. And who would have known that 9 years later, I went to study with him, you know, to how to teach yoga to my football team. And so somehow my life was just guided in that space that, you know, to be in a steadiness of my mind would actually be the way that I could create my own reality and not get knocked around my whole life by life.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, again, it seems that there's some divine alignment for you in those areas, because I feel there's a lot of resistance and even some stigma for men to accept or adopt either practice, certainly in sports. And I think it's becoming less so, but do you see that, that men seem to have some resistance to those practices in particular?
Well, you know, at first, like in 2003, I started teaching to our whole football team. So 100+ guys doing yoga on a football field. Now at first, yeah, there was resistance. And then all of a sudden, after two classes and they were able to lay down at the end of a class and fall asleep for 2 minutes and feel better, then it was like, okay, how do we harness this? So there was always, what I found with athletes, you're always looking for an edge. You know, what's the edge to winning? And as soon as they knew that, and we took a team that was 24 years of losing and turned them into back-to-back winning seasons, they were believers. And so I still talk to those guys now, and this 20 years later, and they're like, yeah, you know, when things are going on, I'll take a Savasana or sit in meditation while I'm at work and be able to come back. So I think once there was, in football, we call it, you know, proof in the pudding. As soon as they tasted that, it was like, all right, thank you, coach, and tell us what to do next. Yeah. You know, so it worked out.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
So, Sydney, when you talk to, you know, in general, when you're coaching leaders or you're speaking and you're trying to motivate people towards peace, I mean, we talked about yoga and meditation. Those are foundational. But if you walk into an organization or you're trying to inspire some people to you know, start to open up to peace, because in general, I feel that there's a lot of people having great success, but are not experiencing peace. They're not actually in the present moment very often. A lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a number of things concerning mental health. So I'm just curious about your approach. And I know you have sort of a tiered approach, and it's probably too much even for the scope of this conversation, but like on a high level, how do you typically work with some organization or company to get them on that path?
Well, I mean, I always ask people, what do you want? You know, what is it that you're looking for to move yourself forward? And then, okay, why am I here? If you know what you want, either you have it or you don't. And now something's going to have to be different to get you there. You know, so I like to just get real with the facts. Like, okay, I'm here for a reason. And now what is that reason that I'm here? And so that's the first thing, is helping people see that, okay, are you there where you want to be? If so, keep doing what you're doing. Nothing to disrupt. If you're not, then you're going to have to do something different. And if most of the time, as you talked about, I mean, people are living in this place of anxiety, they're struggling to sleep at night, all different types of stuff. So then it's like, all right, is that how you want the rest of your life to be? I got a solution for you. Do you want it or not? And so that to me is real, especially when you're talking about athletes. It's like, are you winning or losing? Right. Do you want to start winning? Then let's try something different. And there's something to someone being able to move a little slower so that they actually have more energy than what they're exerting. So how do you do that? You learn how to move in that space. You know, I like to talk about the path to power is peace, and peace is the power to live by. So now if I access that level of peace, I'm not running my battery dry, you know? And so now I've got power at the end to bring forward. So those kind of things are just, I mean, they're really common sense, and most people aren't, I say common sense, but it's not common. It's sense. Yeah. Like we're going to access something that says, okay, now that I know, you can't deny that, you know, so let's disrupt that space that we're moving from in order to get to where we want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It, the awareness of that fact that they can change. I mean, it's that story and the programs and patterns that keep people trapped. But, you know, the way you frame it is that, you know, if you want to make this change, you know, these are the things. And once you, once that door of awareness opens a little and people can slow down a little bit, you know, and be a little more resourceful and wise, they can move and flow much more easily and peacefully. If you're, so once you've had people, you know, they subscribe to that, okay, I'm all in. Do you have some sort of protocol from there, or how does it work?
Yeah. I mean, we, one is get people a new operating system. It's, you know, we're not broken cars, so we're not going to change your wheels or do something in that way. It's, but yet we're not operating in a way that produces what we want. I mean, what happens with an iPhone or an Android or whatever, they send you a new operating system when it's not computing correctly. We are the same way. So now we want to get into an operating system, that, something that, I mean, everybody listening can, first and foremost, is to figure out where you're listening from. Because the listening is creating thoughts that are moving life in a direction. Right now, most of the world is listening from fear. Fear of some sort, whether it's fear that we're going to have another war, fear that we're not enough, so we got to fight everybody, or we don't, there's no way to get enough. All those things become the operating system. And so when we shift that, that listening, we actually then can shift how we're operating and coming into life. And so that's the first thing we go into is, all right, let's realize how we're listening in here. And especially when it comes to a corporation, a lot of times a boss doesn't even know this, that what they say, someone else is hearing it, and they might not even come close to hearing what the boss or the leader is saying. So then moving in this way of like, the boss is like, I love you. And the person that's listening from, man, every boss has always been upset with me, they can't hear that the boss is saying, I love you. So that is such a big place. And I think that goes for everyone in the world. If we start listening to what people are actually saying and get out of our own way, we actually will start to realize we're actually saying a lot of the same things, even though when it gets misconstrued, it looks like it's different. And that misconception is coming in our head.
Well, I mean, based on that said, I mean, I can't help but just jump into the presidential piece. And I know that you taught yoga at the White House a number of years ago, so you're familiar with the space and spent some time in DC as well. But I mean, the world definitely needs someone like you right now. And there is so much fear out there right now. And it's such a polarized country. And I'm in Canada, it's the same thing. And, you know, bringing peace through a platform of that, you know, can really affect serious change in the world. So I'm just curious for you, is this something that you've been thinking about for some time? And, you know, for you to want to take that leap into this, it's such a big deal. So I'm just curious, you know, what's sort of behind your decision to do that?
Well, it started at 8 years old when we moved to DC and I was in school and I saw, because you're in DC, everybody's got a TV. If the president came on TV, came on to talk, you had a TV in front of you, you're going to be, you know, most people don't know the Pentagon has its own production company that they produce the president. So he's seen in a way, it's all those things. So I saw Jimmy Carter and I was like, something in my mind said, you'll do that someday. Now, I didn't take it any further than that. I didn't go and become a political science major. I actually fought it. Like, I was asked to take a job with the Secret Service. No, I don't want that. I'm going to go coach college football. Then after coaching college football, I went through Vision Quest and all those things, and I heard the voice again, now go be president. And I said, my grandmom said, you don't have to rush into things, because that's typically how I am. So I didn't. Then in 2014, someone asked me if I would run. In 2016, when I started, it was hectic. And I started seeing how quickly I could be lost in that. So I said, no. Then someone recently, a couple of years ago, came and asked again. And I just finally said, all right, let me sit with this. I talked to my wife, Liz, and talked to my family and said, all right, this is what I'm considering. And then finally I came back to her and I said, look, I've already witnessed the chaos of what it looks like to be in that realm. And my mission after Vision Quest and getting my spirit name, which means he who brings peace, I said, my mission is to bring peace to the world, to everyone I meet. Now, if you all truly can let me be that, then you got someone that'll run for president. And for me, it's not even about, now I've won, winning is my thing, right? Like sports, 458 wins, 98 losses. I can spit it out like that because I've kept track, right? And so when it comes to that space of winning, this is the first time where I'm like, the win is just putting peace into that environment and going on to help. Like right now we're making this push to connect with whoever becomes our next president and saying, okay, let's create a place of peace in the world where I want to truly be the ambassador of peace. I've told people this when it comes to president. If I do what I want to do for the world, for this country, then people will ask me to do it anyway. I won't have to run because I will have done enough for my legacy to leave peace into the world. So people will be like, that right there is what we need to lead us home. So that's where it is for me.
Man, gave me some goosebumps, brother. So yeah, thank you. I love it. Yes, we need that. And I'm curious. I mean, I've thought a lot about this over the years and what it's going to take for humanity to survive and thrive going forward. I really feel we need to evolve consciously to really raise that vibration up into the peaceful state. But there's a lot of people, and you talk about fear as well, who also feel that peace is weakness in a way. And so, you know, when you get, let's say you're president 2028, there will be a lot of resistance, I think, to peace, I think, from a lot of people. And I'm just curious, do you feel that that's a challenge to try to overcome while cascading this message of peace?
Well, I think most people have a misconception of peace. Like, peace isn't passive. Peace isn't out here. Peace is in here. So no matter what I'm facing, I'm at peace with it. I'm at peace with because I consciously move to the next step. So even if I'm very aware of what I say because of what it can create in my reality. So even if I meet something that needs me to be stronger, you know, like when my kids were little, I'm going to go back. So they're no longer little people anymore. When my children were smaller, I remember my daughter used to always want to run in the street. Like that was just, we come through a door, she was ready to take off. So now I could have been really slow and just been like peace that most people think it's like, oh, it's okay. Just run. No. And then boom, she's dead. Instead, I got to yank her by her arm. No, stop. Right. But I was at peace with that. That's different than this peace that says, okay, there may be actions that we have to take to be and keep peace. And I've got to be at peace with that. So making choices is a big part. Now, the bigger thing for people to get about myself is my process of thinking things through. And it goes really fast for me now because I know how to stop my thoughts, see what's happening right now. If we're in a hole, stop digging. You know, no need to dig more in that space. Listen to the next thought and now feel my way forward. Now, most people don't know that I go through that process on everything. You know, everything. Yeah, instantly, stop, listen, feel. You know, I write about it in my books. And so that practice is different. And I think that's where most people look at peace, especially in this country. You know, we had the flower children of the 60s and that whole movement. It's like, no, just hang out and be in love. Well, I'm in love, but I also know that love is everything. So if I need to do something that someone else may not see as love, I'm going to be at peace with it because I consciously did it in here, knowing the trajectory of what that's going to bring. So I feel like that's a big thing for people to actually begin to know what peace really is. It's not just unicorns and leprechauns and clovers. It's in here, and it's a power that most people don't recognize.
Yeah. Out of our heads and into our heart. And I think that stop, listen, and feel are three things that many people do not do. We never stop moving. We're never listening. There's too much noise to even hear clearly anyway. And we're not feeling anything because we're just, that monkeys just keep squeaking away. So there's so much beauty in that process to be able to stop and listen and gain that wisdom. And I really love how how the process works for you now. If this is just part of moment by moment for you, you stop, listen, feel, and then the next thought comes. That's something, you know, there's a lot there for somebody who is just doing the opposite, as I just said, right? You're always moving forward. If you had like one piece of advice for someone just to help them stop, listen, and feel a little more, one thing that they could do, what would that be?
Well, I'd like for everyone to know what they want. You know, like, and I'd say in this country, we've got two sides of the aisle. And if you asked either side of the aisle what they want, they likely would say pretty much the same thing. I'm pretty sure that both sides of the aisle want the best for the country, right? We'll go with that one. Both sides, they want the best. I don't care what they think the best is, they both want the best. So now, when someone knows, and I challenge anyone that wants peace, commit to it. Mm. And now, just that simple thing of me committing to peace in my life means that all my choices go to peace. Most people want chaos. How can I say that? Because we still have chaos. Like, so know what you want, commit to it, and be relentless about it. Be at peace with being relentless about your pursuits in life. And as long as it is in the highest good of everyone, it can't go wrong.
Yeah.
But that's too simple, right? Like I just said that in like 60 seconds. It's too simple for some people. Why is it too simple? Because they want difficult. So then difficult looks like everybody else running the monkeys in the cage. When really the monkey in the cage of all these thoughts going on in my head, that's the cage, is the one sitting in the background that's still and quiet. Go to a zoo and, you know, Planet of the Apes just came out. That one monkey that's sitting still is the one that actually leads them all. You know, it's just sitting back and watching what's happening. And so I think that's the one to tap into. And the more we tap into that as humanity, then we'll see a different world.
Yeah. And I think the chaos may be a lack of discipline as well for people. I mean, that's a tricky one. That's been one for me over the years, and that certainly has changed in recent years, which has brought me a lot more peace, I think. But that's a big one, and that's something that it takes time for people to develop. But it is simple, but we just don't listen. And I think coming back to meditation, I mean, that's certainly a powerful tool. Sid, I'm curious, you know, I don't want to take too much of your time, but, you know, in your day-to-day now, where you are with, the success you've had in your career and this next mountain you're about to climb and embark on, you know, what does a day in the life for you look like in terms of your practices, the things you do, you know, everything that you interact with? I'm really curious about what that looks like.
Yeah. And I actually, for the first time in probably 3 years, I woke up this morning and said, I'm not getting right up and going to do what I do. Cause normally I wake up between 4 and 4:45 without an alarm. I just get up and then I go sit right over there and meditate, you know, from anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. And I have this process that I go through. I mean, it's been 45 plus years that I've been able to see and formulate what works for me. And so I do that. I'd sit and make sure that I've created the space that I want to live into the rest of the day. So that's first and foremost. Then often I'll either go for a walk or move my body in some way. And at some point I get a super hot glass of tea. And the reason why I do it super hot, like I'm talking, you can't do anything but possibly sip a little bit through your teeth. And I do that because it forces me to slow down. Like all of a sudden now I'm drinking tea slower, which means I'm moving everything slower, and I've got to be conscious of, can't just throw it back or burn my mouth. So I've set my life up in a way that says, okay, I'm going to start slow. And then I step into the next part of the day, and I'm constantly creating these moments as they come. So that's pretty much how I move my day as far as methodically. Even if I'm on the road, I'll figure out how to meditate wherever I am and then go with the day, the rest of the day as it comes. And I spend a lot of time with my wife alone. And then when it's time to go, it's time to go.
Yeah. Beautiful. I mean, very, very intentional about waking up slow. I think of that Jack Johnson song. And the hot tea trick. That's the first time I've heard that one. But that's a reminder. And if you forget, you get burned by that, right? So.
Exactly.
Listen, man, it's been such a pleasure to share some time with you, man. And I really appreciate it. I'm honored that you took the time today. I know you're a busy guy, so thank you. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you and being here with you and everyone that's out there. You know, make the commitment. Be the person that commits to peace for yourself that affects everybody that you come in contact with. We all have to do this. Peace is possible in the world. I mean, there's interviews of people thinking it's not possible. Anything's possible. So peace is possible, and it comes down to each and every one of us doing our part to bring it forward. So thanks a lot. Peace.